Chaucer might not be the first thing you think of when you hear the name Terry Jones. For most of us, Jones is best known for his tenure with Monty Python's Flying Circus. But these days, Jones is busy writing books, both for children and adults, and one of the topics that fascinates him is the Middle Ages. This time around, Jones sniffs out possible foul play in the historical mystery, Who Murdered Chaucer? We caught up with Jones by telephone at his London home to find out why he was so interested in the mysterious disappearance of a 600-year-old poet named Geoffrey Chaucer.
I've been sort of harboring these dark suspicions about his demise in the last 25, 30 years, actually. It's just I never thought I'd get a chance to actually sort of investigate it. I mean, the main point, really, I suppose, is I suddenly noticed that he disappears from the record within a couple of weeks, almost, of Richard II being murdered. And as I'd always understood that Richard II was Chaucer's great patron and protector, I thought, well, could there be some sort of dodgy thing going on? Could Chaucer's disappearance be connected with the regime change that happened when Henry IV usurped the throne in 1399? Yeah.
So when you began to suspect that that this disappearance that nobody knew the reason for might have been murder, it's understandable you'd want to look into it, but how do you do that when the case is 400 years old, 600 years old?
Yes, 600 years old is the case, maybe. Well, it is. It's difficult. We're never going to find out, let's be honest. All we can do is take the question and use that as a way of looking at the politics of the period. And if you say, well, you know, may Chaucer have been murdered, then you have to say, well, who would have wanted to murder him? Then the question becomes, well, looking around for likely culprits, or looking around at the, using it as a sort of litmus to look at the politics of what was happening in 1399.
Now, you say that Geoffrey Chaucer was a bosom pal of Richard II's?
It's debatable. In fact, I think that Chaucer was a very key element in Richard's court. And when Richard was put out of, not deposed, but he was sidelined in the government in the 1386s, 1388, Chaucer disappears from the record for that year, and then he's only brought back in again when Richard takes power back into his own hands. You see, in this period of time, the princes of Europe realized that their territory was not just geographical. There was also an intellectual territory. And if they commanded a territory of literature, of science, of religious writing and philosophy, that expanded their realm, that expanded their power. If it was seen that there was a body of work of writing in their language spoken by their court.
Do you think he used Chaucer to help him in that? Did that make Chaucer a political writer as well as a...
Well, I think Chaucer would be political in the fact that he was producing everything in English. And that would be a political act insofar as it would be supporting Richard's regime, because it would be supporting the legitimate king and making Richard's court part of the fashionable courts of Europe and putting him on a par with the other powers in Western Europe.
Mm-hmm. And Chaucer then would have been, I suppose, not known just to us. He would have been something of a, well, what did you call him, a superstar of his time?
Yeah, I mean, everybody seems to write about him. I mean, again, it's all the Chaucerians nowadays are tending to say, well, no, obviously he wasn't very well known during his lifetime because there are so few manuscripts. In fact, there aren't any manuscripts of his poetry remaining from his lifetime. So people say, well, obviously he wasn't well known during his lifetime. But this isn't borne out by what other writers say. And you see people like John Gower in 1390 talking about Chaucer's reputation in England, saying, you know, he's the most famous poet around. And Thomas of Usk mentions that the land is fulfilled overall with his songs and writings, says Thomas of Usk. And we know Thomas of Usk said this before 1388 because he was beheaded in 1388. So Chaucer was well known even long before he started work on the Canterbury Tales.
Yeah. Of course, it didn't last for long. Richard II was deposed and beheaded by Henry IV.
We don't know what happened to him. It was Henry IV. He usurps the throne in 1399. At this moment, Chaucer's writing the Canterbury Tales. He's writing his book full of criticism of the church, because the other thing that's an element about what's happening in England at this moment is that there's a lot of criticism aimed at the church. Since the 1370s, people had begun to feel that the church had become too commercialized. It had become a big money-making machine. And so there had been a lot of people within the church and outside the church trying to take the church back to a simpler form of religion and trying to get rid of all the money and the money-making, all that kind of side to the church.
So I guess the bottom line as far as the murder mystery is concerned is that Chaucer essentially at the time of the change of the monarchy disappears, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, he disappears within, well, the takeover is September, I think it is. I can't remember when Henry actually gets crowned, 1399. And Chaucer disappears like some 6 months later. But what we can say is that Chaucer clearly feels something's going on because he takes a lease on a tenement, a house, in Westminster in December of 1399. And it's within the sanctuary of Westminster. Now, he takes out this lease within a week of a plot against Henry's life, and Henry's now crowned, but there were people plotting, the Abbot of Westminster is orchestrating a plot around his dinner table to assassinate Henry IV, and you can bet Chaucer would have been totally well aware of what was going on. And so we think that by moving into Westminster, which was separate from London in those days, Chaucer was aligning himself with the Ricardian opposition to Henry, and so, you know, he was sort of taking the opposite camp.
Is this just an intellectual exercise for you, or are you hoping to set the record straight and change history?
I don't know. It's an interesting question. In a way, it's sort of an intellectual exercise, and it's like I'm very interested. And I think because we will never know, it's all supposition, and everything we say is based on circumstantial evidence, so we're never going to prove it. So it's only an argument. But it is certainly a way of looking at the history afresh, and I hope it'll change how people look at this particular point of history, which hasn't really been studied that much.
Terry Jones is the author of Who Murdered Chaucer? And an alum of Monty Python's Flying Circus. We talked with him by phone from his home in London.